After being closed for a year and a half of renovation, the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures reopens this Saturday. Inside the museum, you'll find the world's largest fine-scale miniature collection and one of the country's largest collections of antique toys. Joining us now with some details on what's going on behind the doors is Cassie Munch. She's the museum's community development coordinator. Cassie, so nice to have you here. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
Well, you're reopening this Saturday after a year and a half of being closed. For those who haven't been to the museum, what's in the collection?
Oh, we have lots of things
lots
in the collection.
Stuff.
So our antique toys range from our oldest toy is circa 1750. She's a wood-turned doll.
1750, wow.
Yep. She's a wood-turned doll with glass eyes and a human hair wig, so she's a little creepy. and then the toys range all the way to the present day. We heard a lot from visitors that they wanted to see the toys that they had played with, so we put in an iconic toys exhibit. So it goes from the 1950s all the way to Webkinz and Big Blades of the 2000s.
Yeah. And when you were closed for a year and a half, what were you doing over there? What happened inside that building?
We get that question a lot,
which we
laugh about because we were really, really busy. We had to pack up the entire collection and move it out of the building.
Ouch.
And it's definitely not as easy as just like throwing everything in a box and marking it office and moving it.
Because this is sort of valuable, precious stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. People have entrusted us with their things.
Yeah.
So, for example, every single little tiny toy soldier had to go in a small plastic bag and it had to have its number written down and tracked in the system. So we had to do that with every single thing in our collection.
How many items are we talking about here?
72,000.
72,000?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. And where did these 72,000 things go for this year and a half?
They all went into cave storage.
Oh.
So Kansas City has
some really great
natural caves and they're fabulous for storing collections because they kind of have a natural temperature and humidity controls.
And then inside the house, the museum, mm-hmm. what happened there?
So the staff moved out. Everybody had to move out.
Wow.
And the building was renovated. And while the construction company was working on changing, so we didn't add to the building at all, but we reallocated the building footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So while that was happening, the staff was busy researching new exhibits and designing new exhibits and traveling throughout the country to pick up new collection donations.
So are visitors going to recognize the museum and be able to relate it to what it used to be, or is it going to be really dramatically different when you walk in the door?
Yes and no. I think the entry is pretty dramatically different, and we've moved all the toys to the second floor, and it looks completely different.
Wow.
But the miniatures will mostly be the same. A lot of the miniatures were placed by the founder of the collection, and so we really wanted to honor her aesthetic in the way that they were exhibited. So they got a painting update, but for the most part, they're the same.
So what's old and what's new? One thing is the name of the museum has changed, right?
Yes.
That's new.
Yes, the name is new. A lot of the exhibits are new. I like to say that we took the building and we took the collection and we wiped the slate clean of everything else and we started over.
Wow. And that's a big deal. Why did you change the name?
That's a very good question. We're a specially niche museum. So mm-hmm. whereas other museums may have miniatures in the collection or toys in their collection, it's not their primary focus. And in the time we've been around since 1982, so in the 33 years that we were building the museum, institutions with collections similar to ours, a lot have closed. In just the last 10 years, about 27 museums of toys or miniatures have closed, which leaves us as one of the few.
I was going to say, how many of them are there out there?
There are a lot. There are a lot that kind of started the way ours did. Two individuals who had a collection and wanted to put it in a building for people to come and view. And a lot of times when people start institutions like those, they don't understand everything that goes into creating a sustainable mm-hmm. museum, and mm-hmm. it's often overwhelming, and so they don't last long.
Yeah.
Often people don't either do any future planning, so, you know, it becomes, they pass away, and it becomes their children and their it's not their children's passion, and so they move on. And oftentimes those collections get put up for auction. And so often they go into private collections and they're no longer on view for the public.
I'm visiting with Cassie Munt. She's with the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, the renamed museum here on the campus, near the campus of UMKC. So when visitors enter the museum, Cassie, they're going to see a new sculpture. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we have a two-story spinning metal helix covered with toys that we fondly call the Toytisserie.
The toy what?
Toytisserie.
Ah, okay.
So it's kind of like a rotisserie, but of toys.
I get it. It's coming to me here.
So we reached out to the Kansas City community last fall to collect small used toys, and a local artist took the almost 10 55-gallon barrels worth of toys that we collected and worked to put together scenes that kind of envision how the Kansas City community played with the toys and how perhaps the toys play with themselves when we leave the room.
Yeah.
So it's the focal piece in our lobby.
It's a moving, living piece, I guess.
Yes, it spins and it lights up.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun.
And kids are going to love that, aren't they? Kids of all ages, probably, too.
The young and young at heart.
Yeah. And you've also changed the way that a lot of the objects are displayed.
Mm-hmm.
How?
So we used to put as many examples as we possibly could of one object in a case.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have a case of Raggedy Ann and Andy's that had maybe 50 inside.
Mm-hmm.
So in the new exhibits, we'll be focusing more on the individual pieces, but telling great stories about either the piece itself or the children who once played with the pieces.
Oh, that's neat. Well, Cassie Munt, again, is with the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures. It reopens this Saturday. Your hours are what?
We are open from 10 to 4 every day of the week except for Tuesdays, and admission is just $5.
Okay, that sounds great. You're so nice to come over. Thanks so much. Nice to have you, Cassie.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good luck, okay?
Thank you.